We're going to go ahead and just start to share the Word of God tonight. We want to get through a couple of things here, and I believe that the Lord has something good to share with us today. We got to do a little visitation today, and you know, the world is crazy, right? And yet, you know, God knew our lives, each and every one of us. He can see the beginning from the end. That's how much God knows. I mean, he knows what's in store. He knows, you know, he sees the end. I mean, there's no time limit for God. And so you think about it. I was sitting in a chair and I'm thinking about God, and you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get a little frustrated and you get a few people on the phone and you're trying to get something done and they've done something wrong and you're talking to India and somebody that can't understand and if you got a manager, I want to speak to a manager. You ever been anywhere where you want to speak to a manager because you're not getting through? Well, you know, I want to tell you, God is God over all. There ain't anyone higher than the Lord. You know, I mean, you can speak to anybody you want, but when you speak to God, you got to the highest authority. You don't have to try to get anywhere else. And God wants us to be able to speak to Him. He gives us the right to speak to Him. And, you know, His Word begins to speak to us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that, God, Your Word would make sense. Lord, that we could season it with grace. And at the same time, Lord, that grace and the power of the Holy Spirit would strengthen us to be able to, by joy, choose to do what You would have us do. And Father, we love You, praise You, open up our hearts to Your understanding today, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, just talking with Pete here for a few moments, it's kind of bad on Wednesday. You only get a few moments to talk to people. It'd be nice to be able to talk a little bit more, but, you know, everybody know, you know, Pete was homeless and a drug addict. And God, you know, he started coming, and God started moving in his life, and you know, setting things up, and he just kept seeking and hitting prayer meetings and being faithful, and God kept adding to him, and pretty soon, he's able to get his own place, he got a job, and all these things, and you know, as he's telling me, and I'm telling him about some people that are struggling just a little bit, he goes, you know, he said, I thank God because I don't even have the urge anymore. Nothing, not at all, you know, and that's a total sellout. See, when someone clicks to that point, it doesn't bother us anymore. We don't feel like doing something crazy or stupid in order to kind of, you know, God teaches us in the ways in which we should go and in the ways of victory. And so I don't know about you, that blessed my heart. You know, I don't even have just even the least desire, he said, to ever even do that again. You know, that's the way it was for me. And you know what? I think when we come to that place where God, I want You to have everything. You know, we talk to God. He's the highest form. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, it says this: Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now, there's talking about some depth here, you know, His wisdom and His knowledge. There's a depth that you really want to get to. How unsearchable are His judgments, unfathomable His ways. You know, God just knows. He knows what's best. He knows what to do. He knows how to get it. He knows what to give. There isn't anybody that knows more than God. And then it goes on, it says, For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? God, if only. You know, here we were making all these things. God, if only. You know, if only this would have happened, that would have happened, I'd have got this and that. You know, who's there to counsel God? You understand? That's what he's saying. And it says, Or who has first given to him that he might be paid back to him again? I mean, you know, like, well, God, you know, I've been faithful. I should, you know, I tithe. I go to church. You know, God is saying, you know, he talks about his wisdom and his knowledge. And sometimes we get to that place where suddenly we're trying to counsel the counselor. We're trying to reason out of a self-centered place, and it ain't going to work. We got to come to God in humility and love and grace, and then just listen to what he said. You know, I like what I was reading this morning a little bit more too. You know, Paul says, "Let it be yes and amen." But then he said, "Really, let it be yes in Christ." That's what it really boils down to. He said, "What it really boils down to, yes in Christ." And that is victory, right, Pete? That is when you don't feel tempted or you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, we get to this place where we're depressed, we're this, we're that. You know, as I was doing a little bit of praying and reading and studying, I come up, you know, and I know there's a whole lot more than this, but you know, I come up with four things that I really believe, you know, sacrifices that please God. He wants us to be able to do some of these sacrifices. And, you know, as we begin to talk about the depth of the riches and the knowledge of God, this is what gets us there. You know what I mean? As we begin to get it, we begin to obey some of these things that God begins to talk about. And so I want to talk about some of these sacrifices just a little bit. And the first one in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verses 15 and 16 says this. Through him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. I don't know about you, but that's what we got to do tonight, didn't we? You know, as you go through the Psalms, it just talks about David, all the things he goes through, but yet I will praise you. I mean, the praise is something that God, it's a sacrifice. It isn't always like you feel like it. It isn't always, but when you begin to do it, God begins to do his part, you see? And, you know, praise needs to be something, you know, you got to let go of who you are and what's going on in order to really praise God for who he is. Amen? That's good tonight. And you know, it talks about the fruit of our lips. Now, I don't know about you. Well, you think about it. I asked somebody a question on the phone today because they're going through it. And I said, well, have you been praising God at all today? Well, have you been reading? Well, have you been praying? Well, a little. And that's almost where you're going to stay if you don't learn to begin to sacrifice some things to God. See, as we begin to sacrifice some of these things, you begin to just praise God. Not, you know, like somebody had on Facebook this morning, God didn't remove the Red Sea. He parted it and made a way through. I thought, man, there you go, God. You see, God's doing these things. And so part of it is in the midst of it, just like David, let the fruit of our lips, what's going on with our lips? What was our words today? You know, I think back about some of the conversations you had, some of the things you did. What were our words today? And then in that next verse it says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Now, you know, God's called us to be something. He didn't say that, you know, you're going to be depressed and you're going to stay that way and you're always going to be a loser. God said you're kings and priests. And this is how you become. This is how, you know, I mean, what he said is, now that you've gone through all this junk, you know, as you read the Old Testament, now that all these bad things have happened because you've forsaken me, go and consecrate yourself. In other words, go begin to let the fruit of your lips begin to talk to God. Begin to get to that place where God can begin to renew a right spirit, where God can begin. And so it's really important that we look into the things that God is asking. And then we get into Romans chapter 12. We all know this one, verses 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, but I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you. But, you know, when I was in Bible school, that's one of the things that one guy came in. I really enjoyed some of the old preachers that used to come in and share. But the guy, he said right away, within the first couple weeks I was there, he said, if it says therefore, find out what it's there for. And when he said that, it never left. Every time I look into the Bible, it says therefore. Now it's telling you to do something. Find out what it's there for. And as we look at it, it says, therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God, if you want mercy, it says, present your bodies That's every bit of it. A living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, it's more than just coming to church and singing songs of praise. There's more of a sacrifice there. He's saying, the second part of that is that he talks about that we have a spiritual service. We have a sacrifice acceptable to God, that we present ourselves to God. Now, Paul is urging them in order to get the mercy of God. And, I don't know about you, but our bodies is a living sacrifice. And, when you get into the Old Testament, you look at some of these things, he says this sacrifice is to be holy and pleasing unto God. That's our spiritual service of worship. That's part of worship, not just singing. And so we get to this place now. I kind of thought about it. Well, when you talk about a living sacrifice, it kind of contradicts a little bit what the Old Testament says. Doesn't really, because we understand it through the New Testament. But, the Old Testament, a sacrifice was always something that they killed. And Jesus inaugurated a new and living way. See, he paid that price. That no longer is it something that has to be dead. Yeah, we have to die to self. We have to die to flesh. We have to die to some of these things so that we can live to God. But Jesus made these things possible. And so, we think about it that, when he talks about this living sacrifice, it really hit me hard because, Christians don't have any time nowadays, it seems like. They're busy with everything. And I don't know about you, but when he says a living sacrifice, I come up with some things in my heart and in my mind that, God, he says, your time is my time. It's a living sacrifice. You got all these dreams and desires, but your ambitions, they're to be my sacrifice, your ambitions. It talks about, here we go, our possessions. A living sacrifice, our ears. What are we listening to? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to condemn anybody, but I know a lot of people that listen to a lot of worldly music. And it's not edifying, And so Bible says if it's not for me, it's against me. And there's so much better in there. And so what our ears listen to, I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to turn on a TV program, and all of a sudden, F this. And oh, golly, my heart just sinks. And all of a sudden, I'm going to leave it on for a second. And all of a sudden, here comes this girl. F that. That's it. My ears are a sacrifice. See, if I'm a living sacrifice, my ears, it's my mouth, it's my time, it's my ambition. We begin to see some things that God really wants, and my mind, some people let their mind go all over the place. Their mind just gives them the biggest problem. They're always thinking. God just wants you to live by faith. He wants you to hear the word of God, put your trust in him. You who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, Jesus said. And he begins to tell us about the wisdoms of God. And so, it's a whole lot when he talks about a living sacrifice. It's not some little thing. And, we see that, it's really important. He wants us to offer our whole life, our attitudes. Well, I don't know about you, my attitudes get sour sometimes. And God is trying to deal with those sour times. That's it. He wants more of it. I'm not going to be perfect overnight. I understand that. He was without sin. Let him cast the first stone. Nobody could. But Paul, he said, he's not worried about what, if people try to look at his life, because they're not going to find a lot of junk, because he learned to be victorious. He learned to be that living sacrifice. You understand? And so we begin to look more and more. And, the Bible just talks about your whole life. He wants you to offer your whole life. And not just, not just now, but for your whole life. but Lord, you know, I got a few issues today. I got a few problems. I got to take your whole life, all of your life, forever. You know, I don't think about that when I'm going through things. You know what I'm saying? You know, but the wisdom of God, as you sit there and you can kind of separate from what's happening in your life, and you hear the voice of God, yeah, Lord, that's right. I'm withholding something that pleases you, and that's part of my living sacrifice. God wants me to learn to be that living sacrifice unto him. And I'll tell you what, there weren't anybody that could beat Israel. There weren't anybody that could steal from them. You know, God just blessed them and blessed everything that they did and touched, and then someone else would come in and be contrary and wouldn't offer anything to God. And then what happened? Right down the other way. What is going to make my life prosper? What is going to get my family to the place where the enemy in this day that we live in that's crazy, and we know God knows all about it, that he makes a way for me where there is no way, that he can part the sea and I can go through. See, God's wisdom is really pretty good. And then, you know, we look at some things there. Again, you know, we take an ordinary day in life, and he's in control of our sleep. How many know some people like to sleep 12 hours a day? You know, part of our sacrifice is our sleep. You know, and you know, we see that, you know, our eating, that's part of a living sacrifice, isn't it? I don't go that far to think about some of these things. About going to work. You know, some people are Christians in the church, but at work they're not. And yet God made their feet at work. He put them there for a reason, that that's a mission field. And if they could see it as a mission field, it wouldn't be hell for 8 hours or more a day. They would begin to be useful, and they would begin to change the things. And he even said, even the way you walk around life, you know, put this muscle shirt on. I don't have no muscles, you know. He's got a living sacrifice. You know, I think about some of these things, you know, and I'm not condemning anybody, because everybody's got to learn through the grace of God how to be better, stronger, and more part of the kingdom of God. See, and the more you get there, the easier it is, the better it is, the more profit you can have and actually give away to others. And so, you know, attitudes, a living sacrifice, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's something that we bring to God. It's offered to God. And so we see some of these things that, you know, it talks about our tongue, you know, that our tongue is something that we need to sacrifice to God. It says that in the scriptures. Now, in that next verse, you know, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, Lord, I know one thing. I can fail a lot of times. You know, I can fail a lot of times, but, you know, I tell you what, sometimes when I look at my failures and I look at what God says, I want to do better. And when I do better, it gets better. And I want to see it before I get too far in my words and my emotions. All these things, they go places, and I can react out of the natural rather than, you know, being this sacrifice unto God. God wants me to be this thing that you know, that they can see God. You know, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Sometimes, you know, you don't want to follow. You don't want to follow me. You might see somebody that, you know, he's not interested in talking to you in love. He wants to tell you. And that's not God, you know. God gives a lot of opportunity, and he lets the world bring us to a place where we come to our knees. Now, here's another one. As we look at Romans 12, I'm going to go down to verse 8. It says, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, I begin to see that a lot of these things are sacrifices. And, You know, God is talking about being generous with who we are, what we are, with our finances, all these different things. You know, we're not, you know, we've never been somebody that's jamming for money. You've been here long enough. We don't do that. But yet at the same time, I know people in their personal areas that they're not that generous. And they want God to bless them. But part of the sacrifice, you know, you jump down to verse 13, it says this, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You know, sometimes when it comes to our goods, we're not that much sacrificial. And some people, you know, they get it fairly quick. And some people I know have been in the Lord for 20 years and they still don't have it. And they still don't have a lot of the things that they would like to have either. You know, I mean, they would like to see things a little bit better. And so, you know, as we're generous, you know, I don't know about you, I was raised cheap. And that's a hard thing not to do, you know, so that when someone comes up, where do you draw the line? You know, I mean, you know, he says, give whatever, you know, I had a guy come up to me and he says, you believe the word of God? I said, yeah. He said, you believe you're literally supposed to listen to it? Yeah. He said, give me your keys. I want your car. Well, I knew that. You know, I use the other spirit saying, okay, devil, I ain't listening to you, you know. But you know, at the same time, there's people that come up to you and they got a real need. And we get harder than a hard rock stone. Sometimes God is trying to say, no, I send them to you, Harley, you cheapskate. And you're going to send them off with a prayer. Sorry, confession's good for the soul. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I don't know about you, but God's calling us to be different. And with these kinds of sacrifices, God is pleased. What happens when God is pleased? The kingdom gets better. Your kingdom. You understand? I mean, your life, your hope, your future. It just gets better. And, you know, I don't know about you. When it talks about the depths and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, what is there? I mean, it's just, there's so much there that our little minds, yours might be bigger than mine, can't comprehend it. And so God is, he's so good. You get down there to verse 16, it says this, be of the same mind towards one another and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly and do not be wise in your own esteem. You know, today, a lot of times Christians, they know everything. And they just, you know, they'll listen to who they want. They'll listen to the messages they want. You try to encourage them or you say something and they know everything and it's no sense talk to them. But, you know, God doesn't want you to be haughty in your own eyes. He does. We don't know everything. We're at the mercy and grace of God. And God, sometimes, you know, we run into this guy at the worship thing over there where all the churches got together. And we shared this message because in Minneapolis, we were doing these events 10 days out in the streets. And there weren't many people helping. And so me and Mike and a few other these guys, we're doing all the work. You know, we're in these parks every night. And, you know, each piece of stage was 185 pounds. And we got to keep moving them here and doing this and doing that. And you know, by the time these 10 days, we had 30 people were taken care of. And they're sleeping all over. And I'm getting tired. You ever get ornery when you get tired? I was starting to get ornery. I think my wife was warning me and everything else was warning me. And, you know, you're getting a little snappy, you know. Snappy. I'm out in the streets and we're witnessing. And this guy is getting off the bus, okay? And I hand him a little message here. I says, what do you think about Jesus? And he gets off the bus and he's this scruffy bum. I mean, he stinks. He's a bum. He's on the streets, whatever, I don't know. And he looks at me, he gets right in my face. He says, if you got an orange and you got it in your hand and you squeeze it, he's in my face just like and he says, you squeeze it. And he says, what comes out? He said, if you put enough pressure on the outside, what comes out, he goes. And I said, juice, what's on the inside? He said, you got that right. And all of a sudden, you know, I said something to somebody, I turned around, and this guy's gone. And I can see for a block in each direction. I'll tell you what, you ever have the Bible talks about you can have a visitation of an angel. Well, I didn't listen to my wife. I didn't listen to these other people. And this angel put that squeeze in my face. And I was beginning to realize that some things were squeezing me and God was asking me to be different. And I shared that message one day with a guy. And this guy, he was at that meeting. He said, "You remember that squeeze?" He said, "I was there," he goes. He said, "It changed my life." He grabs the guy next to him. He said, "You remember me telling you about that message about squeeze?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "This is the guy." And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. That squeeze helps us. It helps show us what's on the inside. And you know what? When God shows you something on the inside and it ain't good, he didn't condemn us. He just says he wants to cleanse us. And he wants us to do I don't know. You understand what we're saying. It's a good thing. God wants these different sacrifices. So, Romans, it talks about God is pleased with these different sacrifices. Now, here's one that's really hard. Romans 12 and verse 20. Man, I don't know. I think I've had some pretty bad words about Biden. And you better be honest, too. But, it says this. "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. And in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head." Do you know that I'm sure that if we would do that, it would work better than if we would just badmouth everybody. I'm sure that if we would find a way, I've seen it happen when God told me to go do something, and he says overcome evil with good, and God told me to go do good to somebody that I didn't want to do it ever, and when I did, it changed the whole circumstance, because God is God. And so when you think about an enemy, try to think about it that there's a sacrifice that God wants. He said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. I don't know about you. It's not easy to want to do, but God is looking for these kinds of sacrifices that he can bring us to a different level, where the world is not something that scares us or moves us or brings us to some kind of a place, but we know that God is in control of all these things. Now, Romans 12 here, I want to read it just quickly for you, and we don't have to. But if you start in verse 9, it goes on, because it's really good. And we're going to talk about this a little bit here too. But it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." This is God. "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Some people only go to church on Sunday, when they can get up. And God is asking, he's asking for more. And it says, "Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." What are you doing when you're tribulating? Are you devoting to prayer? There's things there that are good to do. "Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own esteem." I got to talk to a couple guys tonight that were hurting. And the guy said, "I wish that would have came in a year ago when you asked me to come in." And he's getting closer. And I think that it's really important that we associate with some of these people because they're hurting. Sometimes we think, we got so many out here. What do you do? Well, you start one by one. You do the little bit that you can. You associate. You try to understand that they're hurting. They don't want to hurt, but they can't find the way out. And we know that way. We know that way, and to transmit it. It says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone." Boy, sometimes I want to. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, Harley. Be at peace with all men. Well, you don't know what they did, God. Oh, yes, he does. He fully understands. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but let room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't have to worry about all these things. It's not ours to do. Ours is to bring sacrifices to God. They're pleasing to God. Praise and worship, it's not the end. It's a living sacrifice. It's learning to do some more of these things. And then it says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. I don't know what you, but when I think about a sacrificial love, that's what he's talking about right here. It's allowing God to transform us completely. Now, I'm going to tell on you. He's doing really good. And I've been telling you, he's growing leaps and bounds. And then he says, but now if I can do the same with cigarettes, I'll be even better. Amen. So, you know, God wants you to begin to get to that point where you're going to begin to try. That's the sacrifice that, you know, God, he's talking about some of these things to transform us completely. And then he says, see, here's Christianity. Our love has to be sincere without what it says, hypocrisy. See, now, if you look into those words, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but, you know, those words, you know, it means without really play acting, without, you know, without pretending. Christians today pretend. Everything is okay. They come to church and they put on a mask. And, you know, God says everybody sins, and that isn't the problem. But if you try to pretend like you're something other than you are, no one can help you. If you're not honest and open, well, you know, went through a pretty hard day today, you know, whatever. I mean, you know how many people come to church on Sunday and they're married and all the way to church they fight. Where's my belt? Oh, look at that shirt. It ain't iron. You know, I mean, the devil moves in and here they go all the way to church. They're fighting. And they get to church. How you doing? Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good all the time. That was a lie. God is good all the time, no doubt about it. But, you know, you're living in a fantasy world. You can't come in here and pretend because ain't nobody can help you. Man, I know what it's like to have a wife that hides everything. And then I find it where I put it. You know what I mean? And God, He's just this good God. He understands us. And he keeps wanting us to go to that place where your love is without hypocrisy. And you know, the thing about it is we put up front sometimes to protect ourselves. You see, we try to pretend it's okay because there's things going on that we're not really in control of and we don't want others to know. And yet, at the same time, that's the only way we can help. That's the only way we can help you is if we understand, you know, you're hurting. How come you're so quiet today? Oh, no reason. Oh, yeah, you had a rotten day. Come on, you know, we're the family of God. Let's get it together. And, you know, that's where sometimes we find some friendships, we find some things. And so, you know, it's like the government. I thought about the government. You know, they always putting up a front. They're always lying. You know, what people call what the government does is it takes a situation and it puts a little spin to it. And that spin is kind of a lying little spin. And nothing in a lie is really gonna work. But when we do it ourselves, it gives the wrong image. I'm okay. Well, maybe you ain't today. You understand? I don't know about you, but, you know, maybe someone just died and you didn't understand it, or maybe something happened. I mean, you know, there's something that happened that just hurts, and I'm not okay. And I'm wrestling with God. Well, let me wrestle with you. Let me pray with you. Let me love on you a little bit, encourage you a little bit. And you know, maybe God wants us to spend a little time, but you know, sometimes we protect something that isn't good. We try to protect an image that we're doing okay, and we're struggling. If you're struggling, let someone know you're struggling so we can help you in your struggles, get back. You don't have to pretend. Nobody's going to love you less. No one's going to judge you because there's only one judge, even if they say something. Even if they say something behind your back, there's only one judge of the living and the dead. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. We run into Jeremy today, and he ain't been here for about 5 weeks, you know. And I asked him, I said, Jeremy, you don't love us? We run into him in the hospital. You don't love us anymore? He goes, no. He took us up to where we're going and things. And he goes, no, it's just been a consequence. I said, well, I'm having people say, what did you do to him now, Harley? You know, what did you say? What ticked him off? You know, no, nothing ticked him off. He said, I'm good. You know, he says, I'm part of the things, you know. And so, you know, it's just kind of nice to go have fun with people. His situations were kind of crazy and running and doing, but he says he's 100% apart. But, you know, we can't pretend. You understand? That's just it, because then we can't help one another. Because really, if he was ticked off, man, we need to heal that. And if he, you know, if there's something we can do to help him out, then we need to do that. You know, we need to be generous. We need to be kind. We need to be hospitable. We need to be these things because we're the family of God. Almost done. So we talk about, we don't want to pretend to be someone different. We are who we are. We're all grown in the grace of God. And so we want to know that, you know, when we sincerely love God, we dare to reveal what's going on. We dare. We need to dare. We need to let people into our life. You know, sometimes people have been hurt so many times that they don't let people in. You can't hang on to that. Love helps. If someone's hurt you and it was deep, other love is going to help heal it. So you don't want to shut yourself off to the possibility of someone being able to love you. And God's love, you know, is real. And so, Harley, if we can get people to take off the mask and stop pretending and just begin to try to be what God wants us to be, and help one another be those things, I believe that we can get healthy in this place. I believe that we can get the anointing of God in this place. And, you know, it brings us to a whole different depth, I think, in our ability to have relationships, if we'll be honest and not pretend. And so, I don't know, I just, God has been really kind of impressing on me that, you know, that people, we need to be able to show some of our flaws so that God can help connect us with our flaws to Jesus and get that kind of help that we need from God from up above. And I don't know about you, we all need Jesus. You know, that you know, I think I had a pastor one time, you know, we're out there doing something and there was somebody and the gal was, you know, a street hooker. And you know, he was kind of hard on her, you know, and I thought, brother, you know, there go I but the grace of God. And he didn't quite get that one. And, you know, later, a couple times later, we got to talk to that girl. And, you know, she's selling herself, and she was hurting. And to find out, she was a pastor's daughter. And the pastor was their father. And that the little baby she had was from her father. He molested her. And so here this guy is kind of, you know, I'm not saying that he, you know, but he wasn't holding her in the standard that God would, because she was, you know, in this position that, you know, something pushed her in that position. And we have the ability to bring people out of these positions into the place where God makes them an ambassador for Christ. They become a child of God. But, you know, God says, Harley, you got to take off the mask. You can't just tell people to take off the mask. You got to take off the mask. You can't pretend like everything is all okay. You know, and so we probably will get a little more honest, if that's okay with everybody. But for the grace of God. Think about that one. But for the grace of God. God wants to change the world. He wants to save the world. He wants to reach the lost sheep. He wants us to be a sacrifice. He wants us that if we're at work, that we watch what we do, what we say, and we take those sacrifices of God and we use them to promote the kingdom of God. I think that God would raise us to such a position that, you know, I think if we could be honest in these things, and I struggle with them, but how many know that, you know, sometimes Paul and them, when they would walk down the street and their shadow would touch you, they'd get healed. And sometimes they would take a hanky from someone and they'd bring it to someone and they'd get healed. How many would like to see that? I don't think that just happened because they got goosebumps in a meeting. I think that happened because they knew how to sacrifice to God. God, I want to be a living sacrifice. That's more fun to see what God is doing. With that, you are free in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It was a good worship. Amen. Appreciate that, brother. Say hi to our friends. If you